This is Billy Brailman, the voice of One Witness radio broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And I'm encouraging you, to enroll in our Living in the Last Days in the Light of Bible Prophecy, Eschatology School, really, which we're going to be having out here at Prayer Mountain, August 8th through 11th, Monday through Thursday. It's a classroom setting. We're going to just look at what the prophets are saying about the times in which you live, current events, watching the nations, watching Israel. And also, we're going to be looking at upcoming events in the light of Bible prophecy. Peter said that the only light in a dark place that you can look at is the Bible prophets. The prophets of the Old Testament actually tell us where nations will be, what they will be doing in what the Bible calls, and the actual terminology for it in Hebrew is the end of days. We're going to see why it says the end of days. We're going to look at time. We're going to look, I think that's the first thing we'll do. We'll look at time as it is revealed to us in the Bible. Why does Jesus have to come and set up his kingdom in a jubilee year at the end of a seven-year Shemitah cycle? To say those things to Christians is like blindness to some of them. What? Shemitah year cycle? Shemitah prophecy, Jesus, and it's very clear, folks. But you'll have to take a good look at it, and we'll provide some, at our school, we're going to provide some calendars for you to do so, and you can see God and time. God has a timeline. We're at a place on that timeline. Clarence Larkin wrote, "The Holy Scriptures are not a systematic treatise on theology, history, science, or any other topic. They are a revelation from God of his plan and purpose in the ages as to the earth and the human race. They were given to us piecemeal at sundry times and in divers manners." Hebrews 1:1. "Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit during a period of 1600 years, extending from B.C. 1492 to A.D. 100. The Bible consists of 66 separate books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. These books were written by about 40 different authors, by kings such as David and Solomon, statesmen as Daniel and Nehemiah, priests as Ezra, men learned in the wisdom of Egypt as Moses, men learned in Jewish law as Paul, by a herdsman, Amos, a tax gatherer, Matthew, fishermen as Peter, James, and John, a physician, Luke, and such mighty seers as Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah. Its pages were penned in the wilderness of Sinai, the cliffs of Arabia, the hills and towns of what we know as Israel revived. The courts of the temple, the schools of the prophets at Bethel and Jericho, in the palace of Shushan in Persia or Iran, on the banks of the river Chebar in Babylonia or Iraq, and in the dungeons of Rome, and on the lonely Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. While the Bible has been compiled in the manner described, it is not a heterogeneous jumble of ancient history, myths, legends, religious speculations, and apocalyptic literature. There is a progress of revelation and doctrine in it. The judges knew more than the patriarchs, the prophets than the judges, the apostles than the prophets. The Old Testament and the New cannot be separated. You cannot understand Leviticus without Hebrews, or Daniel without Revelation. And in fact, folks, I'm going to have an upcoming school. It's not this one, but it's one we're going to go into the book of Revelation. And we will be referring to it a little bit in this next school because I'm studying it right now. The book of Revelation is actually an answer to the book of Genesis. The beginning and the ending, the Genesis and the Revelation from God, the book of Revelation, they marvelously fit together. And so we're going to be looking at some of this fitting together as the Bible is written for us. We're going to be separating. We're going to be finding out what God says about the Jews, what God says about the nations, what God says about the church. And we're going to be looking at it to rightly divide the scriptures, which is so important in these last days in which we live. For instance, I took a whole session one day, and we looked at Egypt in the Bible, because Egypt is one of those countries that in the Arab Spring, they had a big uprising there. And that uprising, which was, you might say, fueled by young people and Facebook and calling people out in the middle of the streets to uprise against Mubarak. But those people were not organized. Who is organized is the Muslim Brotherhood. And now, while it might have been born out of hearts of sincere motive and desiring change, and even with some democratic ideals, that's not what is seeming to take over in Egypt. What's seeming to happen in Egypt is the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood actually is a pan-Arabic, goes across all the Arabic states, organization that wants to return to Shia law. And so we're going to read to you right now from Isaiah 19, because the prophets tell us what will be happening in the last days. Isaiah 19, verse 1, the burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence. The heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it, and the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof. And we'll go down to, this is Isaiah chapter 19, verse 13. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have seduced Egypt. Even they are the stay of the tribes thereof. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. In 1916, Isaiah 19:16, in that day shall Egypt be like unto women. It shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shakes over it. That is, shaking is a judgment word. Verse 17, Isaiah 19:17, and the land of Judah, those are the Jews, shall be a terror unto Egypt. Every one that makes mention thereof shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of Jehovah of hosts, which he has determined against it. The Lord speaks of a civil war in Egypt, Egyptians fighting against Egyptians. I don't know if I put that verse down, but it's here in the 19th chapter. You can see, if you'll read it yourself, the 19th chapter of Isaiah, that the Lord says that there's going to be Egyptians against Egyptians, which means civil war. That is going to an amazing thing. There's going to be a civil war, and that's going on right now. And Egypt will know judgment for their, the Lord will shake his hand over them, but they exist through the judgment. A judgment doesn't mean that that's the end of you, because then the Bible starts talking about in Isaiah 19:18, in that day, that means the day of the Lord. That means the day that the Lord shall have his way and no other person shall have their way. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. That means that five cities at least in Egypt are going to be speaking the language of Canaan, which is Hebrew. In that day, verse 19, there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt and a pillar at the border thereof to Jehovah. It shall be for a sign and for a witness unto Jehovah of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. Oh, folks, this is heartening. God loves everyone. He loves all the nations. He loves every single person, and he's trying his best to get them to come to and to follow him. Verse 19. I like this, Isaiah 19:19. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to Jehovah. It shall be for a sign and for a witness unto Jehovah of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors. There will be oppressors. There are oppressors right now. The Muslim Brotherhood will oppress the people. But he shall send them a Savior, and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And Jehovah shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know Jehovah in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord, and perform it. And Jehovah shall smite Egypt, he shall smite and heal it. The smiting will go on, the judgment will go on, but a healing is coming out of it. And they shall return to Jehovah, and he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. And so for people from that part of the world, it's not over. Yes, they're being raised up. Yes, they're coming up, even into judgment places right now. But God will send a Savior and draw many unto himself by his very manifestation of his glory, and even by his manifestation of his protection and his winning of battles for Israel. If you'll read Ezekiel 38 and 39, you'll see that he does it so that the nations round about will know that he is Jehovah. In that day, verse 19:24, shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom Jehovah of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. Oh, folks, the future is as bright as God can make it. We're going to look in our school at that bright, bright future. But we're also going to look at some of the judgments and things that have to come to pass before that future can come into being. So we do hope you can be with us at our School of Eschatology, living in the last days in the light of Bible prophecy. We want you to come and sit in the classroom if you can. Out here on Prayer Mountain, we've got a chapel that we can seat about 150, I think, around in there. And we'll be studying, we'll have books, we'll have textbooks, we'll have, and I just love to do this. I'm a teacher. I wanted to be a third grade teacher. Then I promoted myself to a fifth grade teacher. So come and be the fifth grade class with me. And we're going to look at Bible, what the Bible prophets say, and give us light about living in the last days. I'll start at 9 o'clock in the morning, end up at 4 o'clock in the evening. We'll take a lunch break. Everybody will be eating here. And then you can go in town to Branson and take part of the things, the wonderful things that Branson has to offer. So if you want to be in the classroom with me, you'll need to make a move pretty quickly here because we are filling up. And you can call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or you can go online at billybrim.org. I would advise you to call, though, so that you can get it handled really quickly. And We do love and appreciate you. We appreciate your support of this ministry. If the Lord leads you to support us in a financial way, you could just send that to Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you can give online. And we do love you. We do appreciate you. God loves the peoples of this world. He has wonderful things planned. And we love serving him and you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, shalom, shalom.